Before that, if you were listening to All in the Mind a couple of weeks ago, you'll have heard us following Charlotte, one of the first tranche of trainee mental health social workers setting out on the scheme Think Ahead, which is getting high-flying graduates into social work. Now, the other trainee we've been following is Al Toombs, who, as a 22-year-old English graduate, was one of the youngest people on the course. Back in November, I asked him what his first day on placement with experienced social workers was like.
It was nerve-wracking, and I think going into that environment where, you know, it's a very busy environment, everybody's working, everybody's sort of focused on the cases that they're on, and you know, four students walk in, and it feels quite daunting at first. There is a sense of pressure, as I think there sort of is with any role, but everybody's more than happy to sort of give you some time.
Now, it is very rare on the radio to hear actual sessions between a mental health professional of any kind and their client. But I was lucky enough to spend the day with Al in Coventry while he went about his work, and two of his clients were happy to be recorded. Now, remember, he only started the course back in July. You get a real insight here into just what a complex job he's trying to do.
So is this quite a typical day, driving around to see clients?
Usually, yeah. We tend to see most of our clients at home. But yeah, most of my days spent driving around, which I quite appreciate because it gives me time to think about what I'm doing next and sort of process what's just happened.
So you're getting to know your way around Coventry well?
Yes, yeah, because I'm originally not from Coventry, so I sort of had to get to know it pretty quickly.
So how long have you been seeing this first client that we're going to go and visit?
So I've been seeing this lady usually about once a week.
That's quite a lot.
Most of the people that we see once a week, once every 2 weeks, just so that we can build a regular rapport with someone.
You'd think that coming into a placement flagged up as a high-flying graduate expected to go far might not make you particularly popular with social workers with decades of experience. But I was surprised at how welcome he and the other trainees have felt.
Originally, I thought that everybody was just getting on with their own things, but people share their experiences and sort of say, I've got this case and I'm really struggling, I've hit this wall. And, you know, people ask each other and they involve us as students in that, and they're so eager to hear about our experiences and our take on things. Because obviously we're learning about these, you know, theories and all this research, and we're in a really privileged position to know lots of things that are happening now, I guess, in the world of social work. So they're really keen to hear our take on different things. So, yeah, I guess my answer is that everybody is still busy, but it's a collaborative busyness.
With this lady, as you'll probably see, she's doing really, really well at the moment. Since we started working with her, she's come on tremendously. She was sort of diagnosed with postnatal depression when she had her son a few years ago, and since then she's had quite a few ups and downs, but at the moment, because of the work that we've been doing with her, myself and my colleague, she's been putting in loads of positive coping strategies and has really come far. I'm really proud of her, actually. So today is kind of a routine visit, and we're also going to work on creating what's called a sort of like a relapse plan. In our last visit, she had a few anxieties about returning to one of her lowest points, which happened about a year ago, because even though she's doing really well at the moment, as we all know, mental health fluctuates, and if something big happens in someone's life, then anything can make someone go through a bad patch. So we're creating a plan today just to go over things that she can put in place if things start to go wrong again.
So we've come into a little estate now. Is this the estate where she lives?
Yep.
You can just park outside, that's good. You sometimes find it, you spend ages looking for parking spaces.
Yeah, this is actually really, really helpful. Oh, there she is.
Oh, right, she's outside with her baby.
I don't think that's hers.
Oh, right. A baby.
Indeed.
Jo comes out to meet us in her dressing gown and slippers. There's clearly a lot going on today. So the consultation takes place not in the house, but in the garden.
My cousin's, okay, she's gone to pick her sister, well, her other daughter up from nursery.
And
my gas board has changed in there, so can't stay in the house because of the gas.
Come here, you. Come on.
Oh, look at the nice dog. Is that Jack Russell?
Yeah. Lily, come on.
That's all happening today.
And I've got my sinus score as well. So.
Shall we take a seat?
Yeah.
Okay. How have you been? How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Al gives a lot of practical help, talking to his clients about their mental health and then working out a plan for them that they might find helpful. And there's an emphasis on trying to improve people's mental health by helping sort out practical difficulties in their everyday lives.
You've actually already started going on this plan already. So I know that's something that we talk about a lot. So that's kind of a warning sign for you, I guess, isn't it? When your mood's dipping, that you tend to shut off your friends, you don't respond to their texts, would you say? That's usually what happens, yeah. What else tends to happen that you've noticed, you know, when you're feeling anxious or low, you start doing?
I stop eating. I can control my food, because obviously I feel as if, because I can't control anything else, mm-hmm. I can control what I eat. And obviously that's when I stop eating.
Right, okay, that's all right. I'm just going to jot all these down so I can write them up for you so that you can have something on paper next time we see each other. And are there any times of sort of...
It sounds as though you're almost side by side with them.
That is how I see myself as a social worker, and that's so crucial to the role, to see yourself like that. And if you ever think that the power imbalance is moving, then that's something that you really have to rectify and address, because, you know, if you're not alongside with someone, then how do you expect them to engage with you or talk about mental health? Because, you know, thinking about it personally, talking about mental health is really hard. You know, I struggle to do it. And, you know, this person just wanders in, says they're a mental health social worker and expects you to talk about your innermost feelings and thoughts. You know, you have to be on board with someone and build that relationship and, as you said, stand alongside them in order for anything to be achieved.
So when you start to feel low or you start to feel really anxious, I know we've done a little bit of work about coping strategies before. What kind of things do you do to take your mind off things or to sort of actively distract yourself or just to make yourself feel better, really?
I like to bake, but I also do the adult Dr. Dots and colouring and them sort of things just to keep my mind active.
I'm impressed, actually. You're up and about today, which is really, really good to see.
Particularly for the people that I've been working with, their lives are so complicated and their mental health fluctuates depending on what's happening during the day or what they've been through or, you know, what happened last weekend. It's really good to kind of be in a position where I can talk about everything with them and navigate all areas of their life as opposed to just focusing on their mental health.
Okay, so in terms of this week then, what have you been up to? How's it been?
I've had Lewis off a few times. I've had a few problems with him quite a bit this week. Mm-hmm. Refusing to go to school and just being a pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how have you been managing that?
Really bad last night. I had to phone the police because he disappeared. It was getting late.
Right.
So it was a really hard night last night.
That sounds incredibly stressful. So what kind of happened with the police? What happened?
Because my mum found him and brought him home, we rang him up and said that we'd found he'd come home, and then they rang about 11 o'clock last night to make sure everything was settled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how have things been this morning?
Again, he's refused to go to school.
Okay, because I know that's something, if you don't mind me saying, you're a single parent, so you kind of have to deal with that on your own as well as dealing with your own mental health. So, I mean, you've been incredibly impressive so far in that you do manage to juggle things on a daily basis, but how was that in sort of in the moment? Do you think you dealt with it quite well?
I think so. I think I was quite lucky because Brent was here as well, and I rang Tracy and she kept in touch, because obviously she was there being a foster carer as well. She knows a lot more than I do. Mm-hmm. The only thing I did think about last night, mm-hmm. again, is we're obviously Lewis playing up, if I could just walk away from it all.
Okay.
If I could just disappear. I know they're only fleeting thoughts as well, but last night I was thinking maybe taking it over. I know I wouldn't ever do it, and I'm not going to do it anyway because I've got people around me, but just taking an overdose. Okay. I'd had enough of him last night. He's been all week, he's been struggling with him, and I've been finding him really hard.
Okay, and I know you've mentioned to me that you've had sort of thoughts like that before, and like you said, was it a fleeting thought? So how did you manage that when you kind of registered it? And
I'm just trying to push it away because I just know it's not going to help the situation. I just think I need to distance myself away from my mum helping it, because she doesn't have it. All she does is undermines me with Lewis all the time.
Okay.
So I just think I'm just going to have to stop coming around when he's here. It's just too much hard work.
Okay. Have you had a chance to chat to your mum at all about that?
No, she just says I'm just being horrible and I'm just got a guilty conscience because I phoned the police and I shouldn't have done it and all the rest of it.
So, I mean, if you did want me to come round or to speak to your mum, I'm more than happy to do that. But you've identified that maybe a little bit of distance just at the moment while things are a bit stressful is probably a good idea. So I think it's probably a good idea as well. So you've got friends around you that kind of know what to do and help you, and they're always there for you to contact.
Yeah.
I think it's remarkable that you do reach out and speak to your friends, because I know there's a lot of people that, I mean, like you say, when you dip, you tend to shut them out, but you've actually proactively sought their support, which is good, which is really, really good. So how are you feeling this morning?
A bit stressed, but I've emailed the school and I'm waiting for them to ring me back and arrange a meeting again. I said, because obviously we need one before they break up, because it's missed so much again this week. I've had enough of them.
Yeah.
So that's something that we do as well. So I come with you to the school meetings about, you know, your son's behaviour and things like that, and I support you in that sense as well.
Because Jo's doing so fantastically well at the moment, and because she has such a fantastic awareness about herself and her mental health, I would envisage that I probably wouldn't be seeing her for much longer, maybe I'd say a few months at most. And she knows that, and we kind of talk about that. You know, it's important to kind of gear people up to the point where actually we think you're doing really well, and you need to prepare people for that. So.
And by then you must seem to them like you're their friend.
Yeah, which is difficult because you're not. You're there as their worker, as their social worker. So one of the things that I've learned to do to maintain that boundary is to kind of prompt sort of every now and again, you know, I've kind of been seeing you for this long now. How do you think we're doing on this journey? Do you think you're any closer to perhaps me not being involved anymore? And just kind of point out that it's important for us to be involved, but it's temporary at the end of the day, and we're enabling people to help themselves.
And if anything happens during this week, or if you need me to come around again, then just let me know. We can arrange something.
Yeah, can you just give me a text when you're free so we can meet up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's brilliant.
Fine.
Lily, sorry, come here. You're not going down there. Oops.
You've kind of caught the spontaneity of the job, I guess, today. Because usually me and Jo, it's just usually a one-to-one session. We'll have a chat just in her lounge and go over things.
So now you'll go away and you'll try and sort out some of those things, like appointments for the school.
Yes, things like speaking to her mum or arranging a meeting with the school is something that really kind of worries her sometimes. So that's something that I get stuck in with and say, well, can I help you with this? Because I'm here and I've got time for you. And that's something that I think, as a social worker, is the practical side of it is something we do the most, and something that's quite important about our role. Is that we work with people, so that's exactly what we're kind of going to do, really, is work with their situation.
Sometimes Al goes to see clients like this, but the next one, called Alec, is coming to see him at a social work centre in the middle of Coventry.
This is a guy who I've only been working with for a few weeks. He's kind of been living at home, still with his parents. And he's kind of at a point now where he really liked to start looking at applying for jobs and potentially moving out, because he did used to have a job, but because of his mental health issues, he had to kind of put that on hold. He struggles with regulating his emotions quite a lot. He's learning how to deal with that. And again, like Jo, he has all the coping strategies in place, but it's about, you know, learning to use them in times of real crisis. So something that me and Alex do every week, and you're going to roll your eyes again, I can almost feel it.
Eye rolling burns calories.
so every week we do something called a WEMWEBS, which is the Warwick Edinburgh Mental Wellbeing Scale.
You said you roll your eyes, are you not keen on doing this? It's just having to think.
Some of the statements are, for example, the first one is, I've been feeling optimistic about the future. And you have a 1 to 5 scale and you kind of rate yourself on that. So I guess it kind of gets you to think about how you've been feeling, which is hard. A lot of us tend to just go through the day without thinking about these things. So
what are you looking better than last week?
It is. I can see some threes as well. This is fantastic. So we've got pretty much all ones last week, and we've got a load of twos and threes this week. So what kind of things have happened this week then, that you think have changed these?
I can't remember half of it.
That's okay.
But couple of sessions kickboxing.
Mm-hmm.
They were painful. Presumably sometimes you go and see somebody and they are experiencing severe depression at that moment. And then with those, are you talking more about strategies and are you using therapeutic skills there?
Absolutely, of course, yeah. So I have service users at the start of their journey. They may be in the middle of a breakdown or really struggling with their mental health. And at that kind of point, we as social workers, I guess, kind of act as people that signpost to these therapeutic interventions and support them with that. So there are things within my team, you know, like CBT that are offered that, because we're involved, they now have access to. So we almost become a foundation for them to place themselves on to access other things. And we kind of just tailor and adapt our response to whatever they're going through at that time.
Just would love to be off medication.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you would. And I think it's a testament to you that you take it even though you don't want to, because you recognise that at the moment it's helping you to stabilise your mood and to reduce your negative thoughts. So I guess we could always add another goal to this care plan, in that maybe because you don't like taking medication, even though you know you have to at the moment, do you think you'd ever be able to get to a point where there are other things happening in your life where you wouldn't have to?
I don't know.
Is that something maybe to think about aiming for?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Because I guess something that you can always talk about with your psychiatrist with the doctor in the appointment next week. But it's something that I can support you in. That can definitely be a goal that we work towards as well.
You are really young as well, and kind of then dealing with the complexities. Has it surprised you how complicated some lives are?
Yes, me being young is something that I'm very aware of, and it's something that I think my service users are aware of as well. It's kind of something that I just have to deal with, and I'm aware that I don't have as much life experience as probably all of my service users.
Do they ever say that?
Sometimes. Yeah, but I kind of see the fact that I'm new to this and inexperienced in a way, but at the same time, I'm enthusiastic and I really just want to be involved in people's lives. And it's been really, really valuable to get out and actually see people and deal with the chaos that happens.
And we'll be catching up with Al Toombs and his colleague Charlotte from Think Ahead in the autumn.